Today I want to talk about some studies that we did trying to get a better understanding of how organic matter adsorbs to soil mineral surfaces. This is done primarily by my technician, Alexander Chassay, but he couldn't be here because he's now a medical student and he's busy dissecting cadavers and things. As we all know now, and has been mentioned a couple times, soil organic matter is an important component of the carbon cycle, storing about 1,500 petagrams of carbon, which is more than the atmospheric CO2 and vegetative biomass. Today, our focus is going to be on the water extractable or the dissolved organic matter fraction of that carbon, which is roughly 1 to 3% of the soil organic matter out there. And it's important because it's both labile and chemically reactive, and it often reacts with metal oxides found in soils. And again, it's been covered here. Phil Solon's group at Oregon State has sort of proposed this layer-by-layer onion skin model, which is based on the evidence that as a particle increases, as higher particle density, there's a decreasing carbon-nitrogen ratio. And from that, they hypothesized that the first layer is composed of N-containing molecules, amines, amides, pyrroles, that type of things, and as well as the carboxylic-containing aromatics or containing compounds. And on that layer, you get more, layer by layer, sort of more hydrophobic molecules absorbing on. So what we did was we tried to see if this model was accurate. So we tried to do an absorption sort of a study designed to elucidate what the relationship is between the bonding strength of a DOM and a metal oxide surface. And we used two tools, chemical force spectroscopy, which is essentially an AFM, part of the AFM tool set. Instead of doing the visualization, we measured the force on the cantilever as a function of the distance from the surface. And we take our tips and we functionalize them with iron oxide by essentially having 0.01 molar ferric chloride, raise the pH to about 5.5 and have the tip sitting in there overnight. Then we rinse it. And we have a flow cell. So we bind the bottom of the flow cell with polyolysine. Then we come back, rinse that off, and put a layer of DOM on it. And this has been sort of mentioned already. This is an idealized force curve. At some point A, there's no force on the tip. And in our study, that's roughly, if you get more than 40 nanometers away from the surface, you're sort of just at a baseline equilibration. You apply a voltage to the piezoceramic, and it drives the tip in to the surface, makes contact. You drive it in a little bit further to an arbitrary set point, then you retract it by reversing the voltage. And at some point here, this is the area of, this is the magnitude of the binding force, and in ours, it's roughly 1 to 3 nanometers. Then that cantilever spring force gets bigger, more stronger than the bonding force, and the cantilever retracts back to the baseline. So this is how CFS studies are done. To characterize our organic matter, we've been collaborating with Pat Hatcher, and he's got a 12 Tesla ultra-high resolution mass spec. And the beauty of this is that it doesn't fragment the molecule, so we can characterize it. And the 12 Tesla gives you mass to charge resolution down to about 5 decimal places, so we can assign formulas. Again, we use DOM. It's usually a 1 to 10 soil water extract. To increase the ionization efficiency, we pass it through a solid phase extraction cartridge, and we elute that off with ethanol. You can see, I always love seeing this just beautiful yellowish organic environment coming off the cartridge. And this is just sort of an example spectra. This is 329 Daltons, and this is 329.3. So within a third of a mass unit, you can see we can identify about 12 different molecules. And in this study, we used four DOMs, deciduous stand, organic horizon, a coniferous stand organic horizon, and this is these all three are from Maine. This was sort of a acid barren soils under blueberry cover, and this was sort of a reference. We used the IHS Pahokee peat, and we just did a water extract. And we can use Van Creveland diagrams, which classifies the components with respect to their carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, hydrogen, carbon, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen, carbon ratios. And you can see across all four, lignin phenolic type molecules dominate, you know, more than half. The condensed aromatic, which is this dark red, is much higher in the Pahokee peat DOM. And if you look at, it's also much higher in the nitrogen-containing aliphatics. So these four DOM molecules that we looked at have different characteristics. And this is the CFS data, and this is just one individual peak, and you see that the red is going to the surface, and B is being retracted back from the surface. And you can see it pretty much reflects that same idealized shape that we had. And to collect the data, we essentially do a 10 by 10 grid on the surface, and we just fit a Gaussian to determine what the average maximum force. So we pull off what this magnitude is for each of those 100 individual force curves we get. And you can see that the three sort of field organic matter samples that we get a nice, clean, pretty sharp Gaussian distribution with these roughly around 1 nanonewton. And interestingly enough, the Pahokee gives you a much broader distribution, indicating that it's got presumably a much broader range of type of molecules that it is composed of. And this is just a bare tip. Its absorption energy or absorption strength is about 0.2. So we get an clearly our we have the ability to measure these bonding strengths. Using our system. And so there's been a lot of studies where as ultra high resolution mass spec gets more and more available, there's been a lot of studies using it, and there's been also different approaches to try to relate that data to other data that you have. And probably the most common one is just simple correlation. What we did was we used R to identify of the roughly 3,000 peaks that you get, about half of them, 1424, can be found in all the samples. So we'll just take one of them, this one here, C16H1009, and these are the four samples. And we essentially just calculate the relative intensity of the peaks. This is sort of a proxy for concentration. We can't really measure the concentration because we don't know what the ionization efficiency of each of these molecules are. But you can see we have a pretty, starts low here and increases as you go down the series. And you can see that the binding force also does that as well. So it's got a positive correlation indicating that this molecule is essentially related to the binding strength that we observed. And it's the black ones that are in this Van Creveland diagram that are mostly adsorbed, are strong, that correlate most to high adsorption strength. And these are, as we'll see, aromatics. And we classified, what we did was we took the top 25 significantly correlated peaks or formulas, and we contrasted to the ones that were the highest negatively correlated. And you can see here the positive correlated molecules had much lower molecular weight. They were roughly around 350 Daltons. And on this one, this is the aromaticity index, and you can see that the correlations were much greater for the more aromatic compounds. And this is sort of the Van Creveland. You can see that the peaks correlated are the condensed aromatics and the aromatics, and we also have a fairly big contribution of the nitrogen-containing aliphatics. And this is exactly what the Phil Solon's layer-by-layer model of iron or organic matter adsorbing to iron oxide surfaces says. So we take this as showing firm evidence that indeed it's the nitrogen-containing aliphatics that are first bound to these metal oxide surfaces. And we can sort of conceive of metal or DOM adsorption as a three-step phenomena. The surface OH of these metal surfaces get protonated to form the positive SO2 species. Then probably a outer sphere electrostatic association forms. Then with time or with other factors, that water group gets removed, and that ligand goes in and forms a directly covalent bond. And we did some titrations to see in our system what the charged species were. We did it in we used a sodium acetate buffer at 4.65. So at that pH, roughly 30% of those surface hydroxyl groups are protonated. So we should have a sufficient amount of positively charged. And we have 1 to 3 millimoles of charge of on those negative charge on those ligands. So we're pretty sure that we have a good system for absorption. And one way to check it is to conduct experiments at different ionic strengths. If it's an outer sphere, you would expect a change in the bonding strength, because both the electrolyte of interest and the background are in the diffuse layer, and they control the activity coefficient. Whereas in the inner sphere, they're all at the stern layer, and they have no interaction with the diffuse layer. So indeed, in our situation, we have no significant effect of ionic strength. So we take that as evidence that the DOM is interacting in inner sphere. And one more thing, we do use the Kendrick mass defect analysis to look at how different number of carboxyl groups affect the bonding strength. And you can see that if you add one more carboxyl group, it doesn't really affect the bonding, correlation to the bonding. If you add two or three, you can see, especially for the aromatic and the lignotype molecules, that the correlation to bonding goes down, indicating that there's probably steric effects going on. So to conclude, the abundance of aromatics and N-containing aliphatics seem to be highly correlated to binding strength. Binding force decreases of molecular weight of the DOM molecule. Probably two carboxyl groups are involved. The reason why this is important is that as DOM composition changes due to environmental factors, it's likely to affect DOM bonding. And I'd like to thank USDA, NIFA, NSF, and the Maine Ag Experiment Station. And further details can be found in this ESET paper.
Thank you for your presentation.